Everybody, it's Tony Robbins.
Hey guys, I'm Audrina Patrick.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
You're on the Hollywood Raw podcast.
You're watching Hollywood Raw.
You're listening to and watching Hollywood Raw.
This is the Hollywood Raw podcast, hosted by entertainment veteran Dax Holt and street journalist Adam Glynn. The podcast humanizing Hollywood. From celebrities to media moguls, even paparazzi and bodyguards have come to break news, break their silence, or just have a great conversation on Hollywood Raw. If they're on Hollywood Raw, there's a reason. From Page Six to TMZ, Daily Mail, and People Magazine, everyone is talking about the Hollywood Raw podcast with Dax Holt and Adam Glynn.
Welcome to the Hollywood Raw podcast. I'm Dax Holt. Over there is Adam Glynn. Today is Friday, which means it is our Raw Rundown episode where we talk about all the biggest stories happening in Hollywood, all the things that you may have missed this week to get you caught up to speed so you go into the weekend knowing all of your good pop culture facts so you know you can keep a conversation going. Adam, how you doing today, bud?
Oh, my allergies are killing me. Do you get allergies over there? I don't know if like you get allergies from palm trees over there. Where are you? Dude,
from palm trees?
I am hurting right now. I'm hurting. So, but I'm doing okay.
I get allergies and there's times where I'll go outside and it's like this fine layer of green pollen just that covers all of our like our patio furniture and all over the ground. But I take like a daily allergy pill. That way I can kind of, you know, keep it under control.
I understand. I am hurting, but I'm good. I'm hanging in there, bud. I sent you a photo the other day and I was trying to see if you knew who he was. And people either know who this person is and love them, or they have no idea who this person is. And someone who I've been trying to
show the picture for the people that are watching on YouTube. I'm going to show the picture real fast. It's not going to be great because it's just my cell phone to a camera, but here we go. There's the picture. Okay.
And
did I pass your vibe test is the question.
You passed the vibe test. You got the answer correct. It was Craig David. You were the only person to get it right. Craig David, UK singer. I'm a huge fan of. The guy was big. I mean, listen, he's still very successful and big. To me, he's one of the most talented singers out there. He never really blew up in the States as much as I thought he should. I mean, listen, he's had some hit songs here. But it's just crazy to me. I would love to interview him to know why, in his mind, why his career, was it his personal thing that he didn't want to kind of come across the US and kind of go to this market more? Or if he was just content with like being the UK guy, coming to America occasionally and doing his stuff. He had huge songs like Fill Me In and Four Times a Lady and I don't know. But again, every other person I showed it to, they're like, is that Jason Derulo? I'm like, oh, God, forget about it. nice guy, by the way. Great guy. You can see the interview on my TikTok page and my YouTube page.
What was that one that was like Monday?
7 days.
Tuesday.
Yeah. Great song. Dude, the guy made great songs. Everyone who knows his music, like, yeah, he made great songs.
And it's so funny because what Adam does is he just sends me a photo. Like, there's no context. There's nothing around it. It's just like a random ass photo. And so I just wrote back. I'm like, Craig David? ?
Yeah.
Like, what am I supposed to do with this? I don't even like what?
I send Dex text messages with no context. Like, I'll send them this week. I sent you a song and then just say, hey. Yeah. And so, and they're like, oh, cool. What's this? I just wanted you to hear the song. Like, oh, is this guy
like nothing more? He's like, listen to this. So I listened to it and I was like, okay, so what's the rest of the story? Nothing. Just here's a random song. By the way, the song was pretty damn good.
It's a great song. So
it's by a guy named Shaboozy and it's called, what is it? A bar song? Tipsy?
Yeah, Tipsy. Shaboozy, Tipsy. Great song.
Is it Shaboozy or Shaboozy?
Shaboozy, I think.
I think it's Shaboozy.
Yeah, Shaboozy.
Dude, good song though. I was gonna play it, but I don't know if I'm like allowed to, so maybe I just won't. Go listen to it. Go find it on Amazon Music or whatever. But
it's gonna be Shaboozy, the song of the summer.
A bar song.
Yeah, it's Shaboozy, a bar song. It's gonna be the song of the summer. Dax, play it in the Trophy Smack office later.
I guarantee
people will get into this. Like, it's the most catchy, fun song. And by the way, I did reach out to him for him to come on the podcast. Haven't got a response yet, but we'll see what happens.
Come on, Shaboozy. Swing on by Hollywood Raw, bro.
All right. Today is the Raw Rundown. We give you the top 10 stories of the week. How do we find the top 10 stories? It goes by data. It goes by Google search. And lastly, a small thing of what we think is the top 10 stories of the week. before we get to that, we read reviews. Dax, do you have a review ready for us?
Of course, bro. You know I got us covered.
Thank you.
All right, this one comes from Lincoln Bridget, 5 stars, titled Great Podcast. Says, I look forward to the Raw Rundown every week and your insights on stars and Hollywood. Your banter with each other is hilarious. Keep up the great work. Well, thank you, Bridget.
Thank you, appreciate Bridget. It. Very much appreciated. Just a few kind words, 5 stars, goes a long way in our books and really helps push this podcast forward.
Hold on, Adam. The other day, remember we said we would send a little video to someone who got the 1,000th review because that was a big deal for us. So we technically have 2 people because so what happened was people were a little sneaky when I said we would send them a video. A bunch of people deleted their reviews so that they could be the 1,000th review. And so
I didn't know if you could do that.
Yeah, you delete it and then they all put them in at the same time. So I have actually 2 people, which I can't tell which one actually hit the 1,000th because of the deleting and then reposting and delete. So I've got one from Kinzie, K-E-N-Z-Z-I-I-E-E. That was one. And there was one from Jane S. from North Carolina. So Jane had actually said, also hoping I'm number 1,000 with a little finger crossed emoji. So if Jane wants to hit us up and Kinzie wants to hit us up, we'll send you guys videos.
Send cool. us DM. Very nice. You're very cool. You guys.
Should I read their reviews real fast?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah. So Kinzie says, I love tuning into the podcast every week. I enjoy catching up on the top news in pop culture, as well as the interesting interviews. It is super cool when they have behind the scenes people come in and chat for their on their celebrity experiences. The perspective from both Dax and Adam are great. Thanks for the laugh, guys. 5 stars, hashtag road to 1,000 reviews. So Kinzie, thank you. And then Jane says, love listening to your podcast while I work. I like how current, relative, and thorough your celebrity rundowns are, just long enough without being too much. Also love your friendship and how well you guys play off each other. Keep it up. Also hoping to, I'm number 1,000, Jane from North Carolina. Cool. Send us your info. If you're in our private Facebook group, that's a good spot to do it. You can DM us on IG. We'll see it there. All right. Let's do this.
All right. On to the Raw Rundown, the top 10 stories of the week, starting with number 10.
Sydney Sweeney apologizing for having giant boobs. Sydney Sweeney apologizing. Oh, I'm sorry. Not big boobs. Quote unquote, great breasts. After, remember that producer who just kind of ripped her apart the other day and got all these headlines for saying that Sydney Sweeney was not talented. They didn't think she was pretty. They didn't think she was talented. Sydney wore a sweatshirt, and the sweatshirt literally just says, sorry for having great tits.
Great shirt.
And then she posted it on her social media, obviously pretty tongue in cheek. Based on everything that was going on, she's on a tropical vacation right now with friends, and that was just one of the photos that she shared, which was pretty funny. She got 19.6 million followers, so insane. She knows that a lot of people will know what that message is related to, and that is towards Carol Baum. That is the name of that producer whose work included Father of the Brides, its sequel. She was the one that basically got up and started just ripping her apart for absolutely no reason, and then honestly felt bad about it. She then later went on to tell TMZ, I regret that I slammed her, that wasn't a good move. And Sydney also slammed her via rep, saying, it's sad that Baum chose to attack another woman. So anyway, just a kind of a funny way to comment on the whole situation.
Isn't it? Sydney Sweeney seems like a fun person to hang out with. She seems cool. She seems fun. She understands the business very well. In fact, I feel like she might be too smart for the business, because Glenn Powell even said that the whole, when they were promoting that movie, it was all her that was kind of pushing that narrative that they were kind of maybe possibly hooking up to promote the movie.
She's so young.
J-Lo kind of did that too as well. So yeah.
She's so young, but gets it. Understands the press behind a movie being pushed out. And a lot of actors and actresses, it takes them years to understand how to work that whole press game. And she gets it. She knows what to do. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, she knows it really well. The only issue I have where she's becoming so much more of a person, like everyone knows who Sydney Sweeney is, and I'm curious if that affects her career in a good or bad way, if directors might say, you're not taking the craft serious enough, because there's the actors out there that don't really go in the tabloids because they're seen as straight actors, as just legit actors. But it is show business, so people know she is, so people might go see a movie because she's in it. So I'm just curious how it all plays out 5 to 10 years from now. Are people going to see her as a serious actress, or she's just a girl who's playing the Hollywood game, having fun with it? But she seems fun. She seems cool. I like to hang out with her. I would love to like, and she seems like, I don't know, someone who like will talk shit. We love people that talk shit. So many times we have a guest on the podcast where we interview them, and then like, hold on, I have some questions for you, and they want to like interview us about some of our experience.
Yeah, they're like, can we stop recording because we want to hear some shit?
Yeah, like, Kelly Osbourne did that. Kelly Osbourne, we talked for like 45 minutes after, and she's like, all right, I have some questions for you guys, and like fun, cool things. We got to go get a drink with her. I don't know if she drinks, but we got to go have dinner with her sometime. Next time I'm in LA, we got to somehow, me, you, Melissa Rivers, Kelly Osbourne, we all got to hang out.
So fun.
We are overdue. Dax, number nine,
Megan Thee Stallion firing back at one of her former cameramen, Emilio Garcia's salacious lawsuit against her, claiming that he was forced to watch her have sex with a woman in a moving car. And she was not happy about this. So basically, on Tuesday, there was a lawsuit filed in Los Angeles Superior Court. This is from her ex-cameraman, who he accused her of harassment and a hostile work environment. He basically said that he was there back in, I think, 2022. He was trapped inside a moving vehicle with her in Ibiza while she had sex with a woman. Garcia claims that after the alleged incident, he was told, don't ever discuss what you saw, and that he fat shamed, berated, and treated him differently. He said that the harassment is so severe or persuasive that it created a hostile, abusive work environment that made Garcia's working conditions intolerable, according to the lawsuit. I guess he began working with her as a personal cameraman back in 2018, quit his full-time job to follow her like kind of just around the world until June 2023. He claims that the incident happened in June 2022 while he was in the SUV with Megan and three other women for a night out. Megan, on the other hand, not so happy about this. Basically, her lawyer is saying that this is all just salacious and done to embarrass Megan. And the lawyer said, we'll see him in court. It's basically what it comes down to.
Yeah. I mean, that is some tough accusations too. I'm not picking a side here. You know, I wasn't in the room. I don't know the relationship, but the accusations people have are just insane. But again, they're just accusations. They could be true. They could be false, but pretty wild thing. Megan Thee Stallion. And obviously once it be you, they try.
Well, here's the question. If he's a cameraman, wouldn't he have
The footage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or right. You didn't do your job as a cameraman.
How'd you not get that thing on film? The amount of stuff a lot of these guys must be able to get on camera and have on these people. I mean, there must be a huge NDA where they might have been able to control their flash drive. So I might say, hey, listen, I have to have your flash drive at all times, you know, just to protect themselves. Who knows how that type of relation works.
It's kind of true. It's one person you probably don't want to have on your bad side is the person who documented every moment of your life for years.
Yeah.
Like, think about all the footage, the stuff that they could put out there. I mean, I'm assuming that they can't just put it out there if it's your face, your image. You probably own the rights to every single image, all that. But still, like, those are the people that have seen everything.
It's just crazy to me how this personal photographer position has become the new position as part of the entourage. Just like a hair person, just like a makeup person, you have to have that personal videographer, photographer. You know, they kind of do both. Kim Kardashian, Drake, Beyonce, they all have that person with them, and they're documenting their whole life. That position there wasn't a position like that 15 years ago. But these people obviously, you know, understand how – you know, important that position is, not just for to control their social media, but also to like protect them in case something happens. It's you want to document some stuff that happens in your life. We've seen it happen as far as, you know, with Taylor Swift and Kim, their relationship. You know, Kim documented on her side some interactions, and it's a very unique thing.
Beyonce, I would say you can tell that she has one of the best photographers out there, because every day it's like she documents all of her fashion, puts it up. Like, she doesn't even put captions on her stuff. She literally just uploads 7 photos and, you know, moves along with life here. But you can tell that photographer is really good at their job. And I mean, what a fun gig for that person. Like, just follow Beyonce around and just take amazing photos of her all the time.
Fun gig. You see a really, really unique perspective, but you also have to be trusted. You need to earn their trust, because you're going to see so much, you're going to hear so much. I mean, technically, you'll probably be allowed to kind of have an account of access to their social media. So you're seeing a lot of DMs. So there's a serious NDA there going, which very, very unique and interesting how the world has changed over the years, especially in the entertainment industry. Dax, the number 8 story.
Kanye West planning to launch Yeezy Porn Studio with Stormy Daniels' ex. And this is one of the latest bizarre moves out of the Kanye world. You know, he's talked about in the past that he was basically addicted to porn and pornography, which is weird, though, because he expressed a lot of regret for how much porn he used to watch. And it was so often that, you know, he claimed that it destroyed his family. However, it seems like he has now had a change of mind. And he said that he is teaming up with Stormy Daniels' ex. Mike Maz is his name, who is an adult film producer, and they are planning to start up this Yeezy Porn, which will just be a production place. And I don't know what he plans to make. I don't know what the whole plan is here. This is just one little bit of information that we're getting. But, you know, he's had his wife Bianca out every single day wearing basically see-through outfits. I mean, she's walking porn. So I hope at least he keeps her out of it, because I don't know if that would be so healthy for their relationship.
I had to say it, Dax. Smart move. Smart Why? Move. I mean, I think it could do really, really well. It's not saying smart as a business move. You know, obviously the family, what's done to him personally is not really the safest moves, but as a business move, I mean, I think that is going to do very,
I just feel
very
like
well.
I think he's just ruining his legacy more and more as it goes on. Like,
to
every
him,
day
like
is
artist,
just something.
Though.
Yeah, he's Dude, just a whack job at this point.
Dax, you're acting like he still has a legacy. His legacy is done. Like, he's gotten. We might as well go all for like bad guy. You know, you are a villain. Play that role. With that said, I do find Kanye to be insane. I do, and I say I shouldn't take that. I take that back. I shouldn't say insane. He's definitely has some chemical imbalance, some sort. Mm-hmm. There's definitely something going on there. With that said, he is an artistic genius. I'm going to give him the word genius, because it's such a good business move. I think when it comes to, as a, I only know this from you, from what you told me, there's only one site people go for porn, Pornhub. It's like dominates. I don't know that stuff. However, there hasn't been a major competitor, and I think Yeezy doing his own porn can be a really big competitor to some of the bigger outlets out there. And really change the game, make it cool again. And you're kind of see what he does next in that genre. So as a business move, brilliant, brilliant.
All right, I'll let you decide that.
You're just like, dude.
I'm just so sick of Kanye that I was like, ugh. Like it's almost hard to do a story on him at this point.
I get it. Dax, number 7.
Celine Dion opening up about her stiff person syndrome, saying nothing is going to stop me. You know, so she did a whole interview with Vogue France, and this interview published on Monday. And she said, you know what, there's a lot of work to be doing, and I'm taking it one day at a time. She is hoping for some kind of miracle cure for the condition that she's affected with. and that she is trying to focus on her day-to-day life, but, you know, she's working on accepting the situation. And for people that don't know, stiff person syndrome is a rare neurological condition that is characterized by muscle rigidity and spasms, heightened sensitivity to stimuli such as sound and lights, and emotional distress that can cause muscle spasms. And so I have heard, I know of some other people in my life that have this, that it is a really painful, painful condition to have. Like, imagine your muscles tense up. Like, you know when you get a cramp in your muscle? Yeah. Now imagine it like your whole body at the same time. Can you imagine that? Like, and you can't like uncramp yourself.
And so what do? Stretch? I wonder what you have to do to fix
can't,
that.
A lot of things are like you can't stress yourself out because the stress will induce it. And again, I'm not like a medical professional here. I'm just talking based on the people that I know that are living with it, and it's very uncomfortable, and they can't do things that could trigger it. Cause once you trigger it, it's like really bad. But she basically says in the interview, she spends 5 days a week on athletic and physical and vocal therapy. She says, I work on my toes, my knees, my calves, my fingers, my singing, my voice. I have to learn to live with it now and stop questioning myself. At the beginning, I would ask myself, why me? Why did this happen? What have I done? Is this my fault? And she basically says, you know, life doesn't give you any answers. You just have to live with it. She goes on, she doesn't talk about, you know, the potential of getting back on stage and doing live singing, but I think that would be a goal for her. It sounds like she's working as much as she can, and maybe one day we'll be able to get to see her sing again. But as of right now, she just wants to be able to travel. She wants to be able to see the Eiffel Tower again. Like, she wants to do normal things that you can't do when you have stiff person syndrome.
Yeah, I miss Celine Dion. Hope she gets better. You know, it's just, what are the chances one of the biggest singers in the world gets it, like at the height of her career? And it's just, it's a terrible thing. I hope she's okay. Celine Dion, very nice, very, you just don't see her enough. You know, I've seen her in New York a bunch of times. She's actually been very nice. I say that in a weird way because she's so big. I didn't think she'd be so personable, but she is. She is very cool. And I hope she gets better. Dax, number six.
People are being mean to Jelly Roll, and his wife, Bunny XO, is saying that a lot of the bullying over his weight drove him off of social media, which it's driven a lot of big stars off social media because people don't realize how much pressure the public puts on people, their looks, their weight, all of that. But basically, Bunny was on her podcast, and she shared a clip from the Dumb Blonde podcast. That's the name of her podcast. And just said, you know, I'm going to be a little bit honest right now. He got off the internet because he was so tired of being bullied about his fucking weight. And she goes on to say, and that makes me want to cry because he is the sweetest angel baby. My husband doesn't show it to you guys, but I'm going to have to be very vulnerable moment right here. It hurts him. You know, Jelly Roll, obviously a larger gentleman. But it's like people go, you're rich, you're famous. I should be able to tell you or talk to you and treat you like shit just because you're rich and famous. That's not the case. At the end of the day, these people are human beings, and I don't blame him for saying, screw it. What does being on social media do for me? Nothing. It's just a place for people to be trolls.
Yeah, I get it. I totally understand. I don't think it's the healthiest thing for people. I mean, even myself, I'm a nobody, and I get that all the time. I'm like sort of used to it, but it's not easy. It's definitely not easy. It doesn't get people. It's just not fun. And yeah. If I'm getting it, I can only imagine what he's getting at his level. But also, Jelly Roll is working on himself. I know he is trying to get healthy, and I know he's lost a lot of weight so far. He is working out, so he's in the right direction. It's not easy, especially dealing with his schedule, to kind of get to the weight that he wants to be. But very nice guy, Jelly Roll. Very, very cool guy.
He's like, again, he's like in the music and music, you know, entertainment industry. He's not a model. Like, let him be whatever size he wants. Let his voice do the work.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. Dax. This was interesting. So this is our number six story. The same amount of Google searches came out for Owen Wilson this past week. He's in the news about turning down a role for the O.J. Simpson. Can you tell us about that story?
Well, I can. I wasn't as interested in as you were, but yes, I can. basically, what had happened was that there is a new O.J. Simpson movie coming out, and it is controversial because it really paints him apparently in the light of him being innocent. And so there's a couple stars that have signed up for this, but they had gone to Owen Wilson and said, this is the perfect role. This follows the 1995 criminal trial. And then Owen Wilson was apparently perfect for the role. And that he actually had the producers of this movie actually had a meeting with him in Santa Monica. Everyone loved the script. His agent wanted him to do it. We offered him $12 million for the role. But at the end of the lunch, Owen stood up and said, if you think I'm going to take the lead role in a movie about how OJ didn't do it, you have got to be kidding me. And that obviously brought a lot of attention to the story that Owen Wilson was like, nope, not going to be involved in this. I guess they found someone else at this point. But who was the other person they said that they've locked down for this? Boris Kodjo apparently is, I believe, playing OJ in this. Okay. So we'll see this soon enough, but, I just love that this is getting so much attention, obviously because OJ just died is really why it's getting so much attention.
I mean, I will watch this movie and I'm very curious about it. Owen Wilson turned down the role. I mean, dude, they offered him $12 million. It's like, that's a lot of money, man. Like, take, how much are these guys still getting? I'm surprised he's actually getting $12 million roles. But
by the way, I didn't say the name. The name of the actual movie is called The Juice. So it's a satirical thriller is how it's being portrayed.
The Juice. Interesting. The Juice. I will check out that movie. Dax, number five.
I won't. Okay. Rebel Wilson saying that she was invited to a British royal's home back in 2014. It ended up being a party filled with drugs and an orgy. And she's talking about this, obviously, all in her new book, her new memoir, Rebel Rising, which... Have you ever seen a book get so much press? Like, I thought that Prince Harry's book got a lot of press when it came out, but I feel like every week is a new Rebel Wilson story. I'm like, how is this still happening? Nothing gets this much press.
I would let one of our listeners know. If you're a listener who actually read this book, I'm just curious. Let me know if you read this book. I don't need to know the feedback of the book. I'm just curious if you do this much press around the book, if people are curious of reading the book because they feel like they already read the book based on all the press that's coming out.
Well, based on our podcast, when we get like a shit ton of press over, an interview that we had, I've noticed sometimes it's not like our downloads, even though we're on People Magazine and Daily Mail and TMZ and all of these sites, I don't see our download numbers skyrocket because people are like, okay, I got all the information. Now I don't need to go listen to it. So I would assume for her, this is not making her book sales go through the roof when every week is a new article about a story in there. Anyway, she basically details being invited to an event by someone from royal lineage back in 2014. She said she got a last minute invite to this tech billionaire's party. A guy who invited me was like the 15th or 20th in line for the British throne. When she was invited, it was like, oh, we need more girls at this party. So she went to some undisclosed location, which was a ranch outside of Los Angeles. The theme was medieval. So she dressed like a buxom damsel. A buxom, is that how you say it? Buxom?
Buxom yeah.
Damsel outfit with a cone hat. She said the party was insane. There were men jousting on horses in the field, girls dressed like mermaids in the pool. It was a private property. It was massive. And that there were assigned rooms for people to sleep in overnight because it was so far out there that they didn't want to do a bunch of drinking and then have everyone on the road. So she said that she was watching this British royal flounder around while he continued to hike up, while she was hiking up her boobs is how she described it. And there's this huge private fireworks display. And then all of a sudden at 2 a.m., a guy comes around with a large tray piled with what looks like a ton of candy. And that's when they were like, oh, that's Molly, by the way. And the person that she was there with said, oh, this is what they normally do is they hand out Molly. And that's when the orgy starts. And Rebel's like, and I'm out of here. So she didn't stick around for the orgy, but she just said it was a very weird experience that she didn't want to be included in.
I'm the type of guy that, I mean, I don't know if I'd partake, but I'd stand in the corner of the room drinking a beer and just watching and be like, dude, this is a trip. I always do things, like, especially doing what I do. I just want to, like, it's just, it's to me, it's like one day if I write a book, it's a great story. But yeah, I mean.
And obviously not the first dude she talked about. She always talked about the Sacha Baron Cohen, named him in her book, but she also talked about a Jordanian prince who offered her $2 million for a weekend together. But she declined on that.
Wild stuff, man. Hollywood is insane. What a world. I mean, there's just so much money out there. And I'm just so middle class. When you put me around those people, it's another world, dude. The way these people live and the way they throw money around. But they throw good parties, I guess. I don't know. Number four, Dex.
Ryan Seacrest and Aubrey Page break up after 3 years. I'm not gonna lie, I had no idea these two were dating. I did not know Ryan Seacrest was dating again. So it's kind of a funny one, but this got a lot of press this week. They ended their relationship after, 3 years. They put out a statement saying, after 3 beautiful years together, Ryan and Aubrey have mutually decided to part ways, is what a source close to them told People. They plan to stay in each other's lives as good friends and support one another's endeavors. So they met back in like 2021 after they were spotted in the Hamptons celebrating Memorial Day. They attended a bunch of events together over the years. And he even promoted her. I want to say she has like a wine line or something like that. And so he's talked about her. They posted some photos on social media. He's always pretty, I would say, private about his relationships. But she has some photos up of the two of them partying and hanging out. Anyway.
Yeah.
When is Ryan Seacrest going to like settle down, man?
I don't think he can. This is his life. He likes to have a girlfriend for a few years and then on to the next one. He's got a pretty wild resume as far as his dating past. I mean, he dated Terry Hatcher. He dated Julianne Hough.
I don't think he actually dated Terry Hatcher. I think that was a publicity move.
Really?
Don't you remember their weird kissing photos?
Oh my God.
They were so awkward and like it was just looked so forced.
But he has a type. I mean, obviously he likes youngish type girls. Mm-hmm. When I say youngish, above age, but like a certain sort of in their mid 20s. He's what, 49? I just think he's so busy and he's so like work focused where he prioritizes work to be number one. And then in my opinion, what's going to happen in 15 years from now, after he's done it all, he's say, man, I wish I could have worked a little bit less to kind of prioritize
feel like,
family.
I don't feel like he's going to say that. I don't feel like he's someone to say, I wish I would work less. He is a workaholic. It's what fuels him. I don't think he'll say that. But I could see him being like a George Clooney type that, he hits a certain age and goes, okay, like I'm ready to
settle down.
Yeah, stop dating and dating and dating and dating.
Yeah. Good. Nice guy. We both love Ryan Seacrest, don't we?
We love him.
We love Ryan. I mean, you said the story before. Can you share the story about Ryan Seacrest, about how let me ask you this, Dax. Do you feel a little cautious about talking about Ryan Seacrest based on your history with him? I'm talking about him.
No, because I've said before, like he hit me up after I talk shit on American Idol one time on a TV show and he saw it and he hit me up. I don't feel cautious talking about him because I think at the end of the day, he knows that I truly am a huge fan and I loved, I loved watching his career. And I idolized him for a long, long time. I'm not worried to talk about him. I feel bad that he happened to see one time I talk shit on his job and it blew back on me. And I was kind of like told to say shit about it, cause it was part of part of TV. Yeah, let me pull back the curtain a little bit on TV, but sometimes you say stuff that necessarily isn't your point of view, but you're trying to spark conversation or producers have asked for you to cause a little chaos and, it didn't go well for me.
No, but he's also such a good guy. I don't know. I'm a huge fan of Ryan Seacrest. I always love people that when you meet them, they're just, they deliver. They're everything you want them to be. And Ryan Seacrest is that guy. Like, he's just a genuinely good person. So hopefully, whatever he does, I hope he's happy. Dax, the number three story.
Well, this was funny, but Kim Kardashian went on Jimmy Kimmel, and she talked about all these weird rumors that have been floating around about her, and a lot of them are 100% true. So Kimmel was just like, okay, hey, so I'm going to go through these list of rumors, and you tell me if they're real or fake. And basically every single one of them was real, which was funny. Like, there was a rumor going around that she has to heat up her jewelry with a hairdryer. And she said, yep, that is 100% true. I heat up anything that like is metal, chainmail, necklaces, jewelry, because she doesn't like it when the cold metal hits her body. She kind just of, is like it.
Honestly, kind of makes sense. It's just nice that she has that time or have someone do it for her. But I understand that feeling.
I can picture her though, like, I feel like you heat up a hairdryer and then you'd put it on your body. You'd probably like burn your skin because you know how hot that could get so quickly. We talked about that. There's this weird thing that she can't stand when you go to like Starbucks and you get that little cardboard like protector, you know, the like if your coffee cup is too hot, you put a little protector on it. She hates the feel of it, but also the sound when you pull it off the cup. So whenever she goes to Starbucks, she like sends a person away from her to remove it, and then they give her the cup because she's like, I can't stand the sound. Which I think is really funny. It's just super like weird. There was the only rumor that was not true was the fact that she had six toes. She's like, no, I don't know where that started, but I do not have six toes. She did celebrate her 14th birthday at Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch, which I think I had heard that before. I believe. There were no questions, however, about Taylor Swift and that new song. That did not come up.
You know what? Being on Jimmy Kimmel, and you're on Jimmy Kimmel, how do you not make that some sort of like, first of all, I understand the rule, but you're also Jimmy Kimmel.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to somehow bring up and make a joke about the situation? Because already, you know, the smart move is, on one side, here we are a few days later, and it sort of died down a little bit. So if she would have talked about it, it would have reignited the fire regarding that whole story and that situation. But also the other side of it is too, is like, you're Jimmy Kimmel. You're one of the biggest shows out there. How about you guys just make a joke about it or just have fun with it, not take it too seriously?
So that's the thing. If anyone was going to be able to pull it off, it would have been Jimmy Kimmel. So the fact that she didn't do a joke or have fun with it makes me think she's definitely not going to acknowledge it. But that he would have been the perfect person, just even to slip up and call her Amy at one point during the conversation would have been funny.
I think we dropped the ball. But however, good interview. I mean, I do think it's very funny. It's a great idea to sort of change up the search engine on Kim Kardashian, because it was funny and stuff that does make news. However, it was a missed opportunity. Smart on Kim. Not the best on Jimmy, but I understand the situation where there's
if she says, don't bring that up
because you're going against the Taylor army, which you can't win.
Well, if she says, don't ask me about this, like there's nothing he can do. He just has to find something else to ask and be interested about, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. Dax, there was some news that popped up today, just now, about Harvey Weinstein. Could we get into this?
Yeah, dude, this is crazy. But Harvey Weinstein, his New York rape conviction has been overturned, saying that he got an unfair shake at trial. This news literally just broke because we're recording on Thursday. But this news broke that his rape conviction overturned in appeals court and a new trial has been ordered. Although this remains to be seen if he'll be prosecuted again. There was a 4-3 ruling that came down on Thursday with the majority of judges agreeing that the disgraced movie producer's constitutional rights were violated back in 2020 when this case was first going down. According to them, prosecutors allowed other women to testify who weren't pertinent to the charges he was facing. So they ultimately decided that he ended up getting put on trial over instances of alleged past behavior as opposed to the specific crime he had been charged with. And as a result, the New York Court of Appeals says Weinstein deserved a completely new jury to weigh in. You'll remember he was convicted of two of the five charges that he was up against, including being found guilty of first degree criminal sexual assault and third degree rape. The case pertained to claims that he had that were made by two women. And even though the prosecution called several other women to testify against him to establish a pattern. So it's kind of unclear at this point if the DA's office is going to proceed to another trial because, you know, they have their hands full with all the Donald Trump stuff going on right now. But this means he is kind of off the hook with the New York case and he'll still get another conviction on his plate here in California. But remember, he was found guilty on three of the seven charges in the Los Angeles case, including rape, forcible oral copulation, and other things. So he was sentenced to 16 years behind bars in the LA case and 23 years in prison in the New York one. And with the East Coast conviction now tossed, the later sentence is technically off the table, but it doesn't sound like they're going to be releasing him anytime soon. So he's currently incarcerated in New York. So anyway, thanks to TMZ for all of those details, because I basically just read that word for word off their website.
You just read pretty much the story. However, humanize it for me a little bit, Dax. Does that mean Harvey Weinstein, let's be real, he's an older guy. He's not in the best health.
No, it looks like he's going to be in jail for life. He'll probably be in jail for the rest of his life. Let's be honest. Like you said, he's not the healthiest of dudes. I don't think he's going to go behind bars and suddenly get super healthy.
I wouldn't say I would love. However, if you're going to have someone be your cellmate, mm-hmm. Harvey Weinstein might not be a bad cellmate.
What are you talking about?
Because I would interview him for hours. He'd be sitting on the cot above me and be like, Harvey, so which girl did get that role that you slept with? Which girls turned you down? Like, I would just ask him all the questions, like, tell me all this stuff. But then the other bad part is Harvey Weinstein seems like a guy who would snore. So he wouldn't be the best cellmate.
And you see him just like peeing in the, you know, the planters, like the whole thing. It would be a mess.
Yeah, but I'm surprised he's legit still fighting this, knowing that the chances of him getting out
are just so many cases. Like, there's so many cases against him. I mean, the guy's super rich still, and so I'm assuming his lawyers are just like, yeah, we'll fight another case for you. We'll keep this going. It's a small win for someone who I don't think is ever going to see the light of day anyway.
Yeah. All right, Dax. Number two.
Alec Baldwin getting into it with an anti-Israel agitator who kept basically begging him to say Free Palestine inside of this coffee shop. I don't know if you've seen this video that's been surfacing that went pretty wild this week, but someone ran into Alec. And I guess this is... I didn't know, but this is a well-known woman who does like a podcast or something like that and is known for these types of kind of interviews where she'll jump on the street and say something to someone and like kind of try to piss them off. But the video is super awkward. He was talking on the phone at this coffee shop at the cash register. And in New York, and the woman keeps saying, you know, Free Palestine, you need to criticize, you know, how Israel is treating this whole situation. She goes, Alec, can you please say Free Palestine just one time? And then, like, he is just not having it, is trying to ignore her, trying to get her out of the restaurant or the coffee shop. She goes, Free Palestine, Alec, just one time and I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say Free Palestine one time. And he keeps like, just get out. And he's like looking at the people working at the coffee shop being like, can you help me out? Can you get this lady out of here? Like, this is harassment. And then she starts saying how, why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time. Okay, let me say this.
Dax hates Alec Baldwin so much that he still took this girl's side. No, I'm kidding.
Really. I, like you said, I do not like Alec Baldwin one bit. I think he's a douchebag. I think he's rude to so many people. I don't like him. This actually made me feel bad for Alec Baldwin for once. Like,
true.
The way that she was so rude and just all over him, and then bringing up obviously this death that you know haunts him because he did not want that cinematographer killed. He didn't know that he was, you know, pulling a live gun. Like, I felt really bad for him in this situation.
Yeah, it wasn't. Alec Baldwin, as much as I'm not a fan of him, he's gone through a lot in the past year and a half. Obviously, the gun situation, now this. And he was just getting coffee, and it's a no-win situation. It sucks.
It was just really bullying of this woman to force her opinions. And like why, if that's not his belief, why are you pushing your belief onto this guy just to have him say it? Like, the whole thing was just wrong, and in so many ways, it felt yucky watching this video, and I'm assuming that's why it got so much press, because a lot of people felt yucky watching it. Like, it just was inappropriate.
It was a rough, because there's video, it actually amplifies the story. If there was just a story of this girl running up to him saying, say, you know, free Palestine, it would be not, but people will click on the video because you want to see what happens. At the end of the day, these news sites, they are they're not generally news sites. They're trying to make money here. It brings in clicks. And again, like you said, you just feel bad for Alec Baldwin in this situation because he was just trying to get coffee. And it's just a very uncomfortable thing. Very uncomfortable. Dax, the number one story of the week.
Number one story, Billie Eilish likes vagina in her face is basically what she is telling the world.
Don't we all?
she had a big old interview with Rolling Stone. She's got a new song coming out on a new album. The song is called Lunch. The new album is Hit Me Hard and Soft, but really dives into her sexuality. A lot of people have wondered over the years, and now she is really kind of talking about it and saying how much has changed. You know, she first was very frustrated back in the day. If you remember, she was at this like Variety event, and she basically felt like she was outed by the publication. She had written back on IG, "Thanks Variety for my award and also for outing me on a red carpet at 11 a.m. instead of talking about anything else that matters." Apparently back then it was a big deal. Now, not so much. She definitely talks about all of her preferences and gets into how much she just loves sex. She talks a lot about sex in this Rolling Stone interview, saying, "I basically talk about sex anytime I possibly can." She said, "It's literally my favorite topic." She says sex helps her decompress. She said that it basically, she's embraced her own sex life as a way of relaxation. She goes, "I think as much as I frowned upon thinking about it, I think that it should change." She goes, "When you ask me what I do to decompress," she goes, "that shit can really, really save you sometimes. Just saying, can't recommend it more, to be real." And then she gets also into some TMI stuff about masturbation. She put, "Self-pleasure is an enormous part of my life and a huge, huge help for me. People should be jerking it, man. I can't stress it enough. As someone with extreme body issues and dysmorphia that I've had my entire life." And then she goes on to talk about masturbating in front of a mirror and how it helps yourself. And that there was a point where she kind of realized that she just wants vagina in her face. And that was the moment that she goes, "You know what? This is who I am." She struggled with her sexuality for years. She didn't know why she was attracted to women. And it was basically over the last few years that she was like, "Okay, this is me. I like vagina. That's it." So good for her.
Good for her. Happy she's happy. Always happy when people are happy, no matter what. You know, I'm happy when people just can feel themselves, you know, feel good about themselves and they're in a good place. With that said, I'm very curious how this goes down. I'm very curious if before this interview takes place, were they the writer, the publicist, say, "Hey, ask her about her sexuality," or say, "Hey, we're going to kind of gear this story around this sexuality topic," because it's almost like, listen, do I read it? Am I interested? Yes. But also I'm like, all right, enough. Like, don't try to play me. Like, it feels like it's too cool where it's not genuine.
She hasn't spoken up so much about it. I feel like this is the first interview where she is really like talking about it. So I'll give her this one. If it becomes like 10 more interviews where that's all she's focused on, then I'll be like, okay, like, let's talk about something else. But I like that she's embracing it. She's a, you know, I think there's a lot of probably young girls out there that have gone through the same confusing feelings, and she's, you know, she's acknowledging those feelings.
Yeah. But I'm just curious how it goes down before the conversation starts with the writer of Rolling Stone. Do they say, ask about the sexuality? Like, okay, let's get into the sexuality topic. Is it even an interview? Was like, give me sound bites on sexuality. Like, tell me about what's going on here with you. And she just starts to open up and gives those lines that you know are going to become headlines. I want a vagina in my face. Boom. You know that's going to be a headline. Because for us, we kind of make our own headlines. We kind of have a conversation. Me and you kind of, from our journalist background, like, boom, we know that's a click. We know that's going to be the headline of when we kind of send this out to the press.
Like, wait, here, I'll get a headline for you. Adam, when did you know you liked booty hole up in your face?
I knew back in summer camp, a kid fell on me playing tetherball. And I knew that. That's so stupid.
See, headline right there. Adam liked booty hole in his face.
Adam found out he liked booty hole in his face when he was playing a girl in tetherball during summer camp and she fell on his face. It's so stupid. But it's just, we know in our head what's going to become clickbaitable. We know what's going to be the new story. And as a publicist, like if we work as a publicist, we have to work together with the writer because they're not going to give commercials. They're going to say, give us something that we could sell. And that's what they're going to sell. So good on her. I'm happy she's happy. Love Billie Eilish. I think she's super fun. I think she's super cool. Dax thinks she's ready to perform at a Super Bowl. I think she's 20 years away from doing a Super Bowl.
No way.
Didn't you say that? I thought you said that you think Billie Eilish...
I'm saying she's not 20 years away from doing a Super Bowl. She could easily do it next year.
Yes.
She would be so good.
Listen, would she be good?
Out of
yes.
Here.
She's not big enough for a Super Bowl. Internationally, she's not big enough for a Super Bowl.
Out of your goddamn mind.
I'd rather see Ashley Simpson do a Super Bowl before Billie Eilish.
Shut up. Shut your goddamn mouth.
Can you imagine Ashley Simpson's comeback? She does the Super Bowl. She does. She does that album, that hit album at the Super Bowl. That'd be amazing. And then she gets caught lip syncing. All right. That's our top 10 stories of the week. Thank you guys for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening, make sure you guys like and subscribe, leave a review, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We're on it all. We have a private Facebook group called Off the Record. You guys should be in it because we're in it. We have a really, really cool community. Follow me at Adam Glenn. Follow Dax Holt at Dax Holt. We'll see you guys next week. See you later.
Bye.
A Huda Media Production.